Historia Canadiana is recorded on the unceded lands of the Kanien'kehá:ka First Nation.
Greetings and salutations, friends. It's me, your boy, Mackenzie, back at it again for another rousing episode of Pop Canada, the show where we deep dive into the world of pop culture and discuss the role of our country within the larger pop culture landscape. Today with me, as always, is the man who doesn't work and gets paid for it, Patrick.
You make it sound like I'm some kind of social
You're a mooch. You're a fucking leech.
I'm not
under dregs of society.
I'm not going to contradict that, and I'm not going to give any context for what you just said, but sure, I'm a leech. I'm a social pariah. That's fucking, my role here.
Fucking commie. But today, anyway. I don't even know. I can justify most of the things we talk about because it's somewhere or another, but like this is the niches of niches. And we're doing this because I know we have like four listeners on this, so I can talk about whatever I want. And there aren't any really consequences.
But I mean, it's also a perfect part of this whole show, right? It doesn't have to fit in within like how things are depicted in Canada or whatever. Like this is straight up pop culture in Canada. It's what the show was made for.
Right.
Yes, it's niche, but
it's niche of niche.
Yes.
We're talking about fantasy writing and fantasy novels, focusing on a couple of Canadian authors very dear to my heart, known as Stephen Erickson and Ian C. Esselmont, both responsible for the creation of the Malazan world. Malazan, is it a franchise now?
I don't know. You tell me. The Malazan Library Universe?
I guess.
The MLU?
For those who don't know what we're talking about, we're basically just talking about a very large series of fantasy books written by these two guys, Stephen Erickson and C. Esselmont, who will now be referred to as Erickson and Esselmont. And they essentially have written one of the largest, most well-received, most critically acclaimed fantasy worlds and series of all time. Erickson has the larger, more well-known series, which is a 10-book fucking odyssey epic series.
Is it considered like, by the way, that 10, is it considered like the core of that series and everything else branches out of it, or is it all kind of parallel?
It's most fans consider it the core.
Okay.
It was published first. It was the original draft of what they wrote, more on that later. And it was sort of like where everything else came from in far as publication order is considered. I don't know how they would respond to that claim.
Okay.
So a bit of a background on Erickson Esselmont. They're both two homegrown Canadian boys. Erickson was born in Toronto. Esselmont
I'm sorry,
was born
where?
In Toronto.
Thank you.
Esselmont was born in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
I have no pun for that one, but okay.
Okay then. They both studied and became trained archaeologists.
Yeah.
Which is fucking dope.
No, that's awesome though. We can talk about that a bit later, but I think that's really cool.
And then they both got degrees in writing. Esselmont got his from the University of Victoria in BC. And Erickson is a graduate of the Iowa Writers Workshop, which is one of the most prestigious creative writing institutions in the world.
Yep.
University of Victoria is also pretty high up there, if I remember correctly.
In terms of just general universities, U of Vic is quite up there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And so they're trained archaeologists. Erickson's also an anthropologist. I don't know about Esselmont. And now they are also established writers.
There you
and
go.
Giant Dungeons and Dragons nerds and experts, like huge D&D experts / nerds and all around like fantasy culture dudes, you know?
Oh yeah, which just for listeners who might not, or for listeners who are not aware, like I have not read this. I know of the world, generally speaking, which is quite clear. Like when you say that they're fans of D&D, yes, from what you've told me and the general like research that I've done into this world, yes, obviously. And they still manage to take it into really new and creative directions, which I think is very interesting and is indicative of the world of D&D and their own creative powers, I think. But no, definitely some interesting stuff going on there. And I was saying, despite me not having read this, I think this is one of the series that I'm most looking forward to eventually picking up. But yeah, go on.
Yeah, that was just, you know, so moving on to the world of Malazan and how this large series that they're very well known for came to be. It started out with them playing Dungeons and Dragons, actually. They met at a dig site, the two of them, They met at Mudge Portage in Ontario, Canada, at an archaeological dig.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I guess they got to talking, they got to knowing each other, and then they started their writing career. But first they started playing D&D. And so they
As all good writing careers start.
They played D&D, Dungeons and Dragons. And they got, I guess, bored, or they were frustrated with the current GURPS role-playing campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Generic universal role-playing system. Yeah. So they didn't like the sort of world that was currently there. Or they wanted to make their own. Can you explain what GURPS and all this stuff is?
Okay. GURPS, I'm not sure. But I am curious, however, because when did the first Malazan come out? So
it was written back in like 91, 92, and then got released in 99.
Right. Okay. So this would have been in like the earlier days of D&D then that they would have been playing.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I assume around mid 90s or something like that, early 90s. And so D&D was a bit different because today, though, when we play, and you've played with us, Mac.
Yep.
So like,
okay. Oh, so the original world was originally created in 1982 as a backdrop for role-playing games using a modified version of Advanced Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay. So like 1982, right? So that would have been like first or probably first edition D&D, right? So today D&D is a world, or at least is a set, a game set that allows for a lot of creativity and that allows for a bit more of your own flavor and a bit more of improvisation based on what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's why I was wondering when they were writing this, because definitely in like first editions and second editions, it was a bit more of a rigid system in which like you pretty much had to follow this script and there was very little of going outside of that. Now, naturally, today you still have certain rules as to like, okay, well, you have to play this character, this character's power in a specific way. And there are like universe rules in a sense, but it is a bit more flexible. So considering that, it would have made a lot more sense at the time for them to be like, man, this sucks. Like,
I don't want to play with the same things over. So I took a look at what GURPS was. GURPS, yeah. It seems exactly what you're talking about. It was a system designed for any setting.
Mm.
So because in the same way of how you get sci-fi settings for your D&D, you'd have like, yeah, Star Wars these days. I guess those would be designed with the GURPS system in mind.
Mm-hmm. You also have a really interesting one that I really like, but I know that the guys that we play with are not as big a fan of it, is Call of Cthulhu. It's basically an H.P. Lovecraft inspired version of Dungeons and Dragons kind of thing. So it's that same kind of role playing game, but you're like in 1930s New York, and there's these Lovecraftian horrors that come and haunt you and hunt you down. It's great. But yeah, just to come back to that. So yeah, it would make sense that, you know, at the time, Dungeons and Dragons did have at least a set world in which there are elves and these rather interesting monsters. And while they would expand on it with further additions, like, you do have definitely a basic fantasy world with which you can work with.
Right.
So yeah, no, I can definitely see why that would be the case, that they would kind of push back against that.
Yeah, so essentially they got bored of that. In the 1986, mm-hmm, they were using the GURPS to create, as a backdrop, to create their Malazan world.
Right.
And the characters that they then created and played with in there. So they create their own full D&D world,
yeah,
create their own characters, then play in that world, and then use those stories and turn them into their current long-running novel series. And then their friends would play in the Malazan world, and then they would turn those characters into books.
Oh, shit. Okay, really?
Yeah, so like they've mentioned it before that some of the characters were inspired by characters that their friends had created for the game.
Mm.
Especially more in, I think it's the fourth book, they start to appear a bit more.
Okay, interesting. But yeah, so that makes perfect sense. So basically, whenever you, when you play with us, Mac, a lot of that basically is what we're doing, right? We're not turning it into a book, but that's pretty much the basic idea. So our dungeon master, Guillaume, like, has a basic world in which he plays in, but he's kind of adapted it in a way that, mm-hmm, allows him to add characters such as yourself when you came in, for example, and remove them while still being like a really interesting basis in D&D. Yeah. And I have a question for you.
Yes.
So this is like 10 books.
Right? And this is just the core series.
The core series, right.
Like there's about a dozen other, and there's shit they haven't even talked about. They're like, oh no, there's even more to all this. We just haven't been able to bring it up yet.
Insane.
Because so, they're madmen.
So there's like 25 books, say, right?
Literally 25 novels, I think, currently, like,
wow,
in production, planned, release.
That's great.
With more on the way. Anyway.
So my question was, like, how would you condense down, right, the story of Malazan, right? Because we keep, like, unless you were getting to that and, like, kind of, like, shot the bolt on that, but how would you, like, condense down? Is there a through line throughout all the books?
There's a through line through every part of the series that they've sort of talked about, and that's the part where they say it really is a lot about the human condition.
Oh, interesting.